Hallelujah. Father, we just lift you up over our nation, over our lives, over our families, Lord, over this city. And we thank you, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, that you are great. You are awesome, Lord, in all of your splendor, all of your majesty. You are exalted, Lord. This afternoon, we place you over every knee that we have, over every anxiety, over every fear. Nothing, Lord, is impossible for you. Nothing, Lord, is impossible for you. Lord, every hindrance, every wall of separation, every prison door, thank you that this afternoon you're declaring it to be open. That Jesus, you came to set the captives free. You came, Lord, to lift up the heaviness and the oppression. Lord, there's some of us yet this afternoon that are afraid of this year ahead, Lord. We're afraid of what might come our way, Lord. We're afraid of sickness. We're afraid of death. But Lord, you've taken away the sting of death on the cross. And this afternoon, Lord, we come to align ourselves with your will, with your word, with your life. We thank you, Lord, that you are not into panel beating. You're not into secondhand things. You make all things new. And this afternoon, Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we have a boldness, a courage to come to you, not as slaves, not as orphans, but as children of God. We cry out, Abba Father, Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll take our hearts, take our eyes, take our ears, take our hands, our mouths. This afternoon, you'll awaken again our spiritual senses. Thank you, Lord, that there's not one person in this place that is here by chance. There's divine purpose here today, because you are here. It's your invitation, Lord, and we say yes to that invitation. We say yes, Lord, to your call. We say yes, Lord, that this afternoon we can surrender, Lord, to your ways. I want you to take your hand. I want you to put it on somebody next to you. I want you just for a moment to bless them. Say, Father, I pray that you bless my brother. I pray that you bless him. I pray that you bless her. We have the power to release God's word. So let's just do that. Bless my sister. Let's just bless each other if you feel comfortable with that. But let's speak life. I mean, if we want to bless somebody, we say, hey, there's a gift for you. Hey, there's life. Hallelujah. When you're finished, you give somebody a high five and you may have your seat. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship band. One day in heaven, we're all going to sing like you and play the guitar like you. And the keyboard and all those things, eh, Matthew? Don. So some of you look very fresh. There's a lot of light on me, so this is probably how we're going to feel one day when we enter heaven's gates. You're allowed to smile in church, I mean. So just like smile, let's practice our smiles, I mean. And what a privilege to be here, Pastor Reno and his wife. And the rest of you, some old faces, some new faces, some fresh faces, some faces all over the place. I'm glad you have a face so I can at least create all the faces, okay? There would have been some problems. But I grew up in the rural areas, and my father used to reject me in a great way, gave me a lot of things that I wanted, but never said he loved me. And that made me, when I was young, I would stutter. So I couldn't speak a proper sentence without stuttering. And then, I don't know if maybe Oya and you're struggling a bit with stuttering, but it's almost like your brain and your mouth doesn't work together. You know, so the one moment you want to say something, but the problem is the conversation has already continued. So by the time you get something out, the people are already in a different conversation. So it was very difficult. And I remember coming in secondary school and just going on in life and trying to cope through life when I met this man from Galilee. A man that once you've seen him, your life will change for eternity. Once you've seen his face and you've seen his eyes, the fire in his eyes, you cannot be the same. I met him. He changed my life, gave me an invitation to life, and he healed me from stuttering. And he said to me, one day you're going to preach in different nations and you're going to talk in front of people. I laughed out loud. I thought that's the funniest. Lord, you can use a lot of people, but not me because I can't speak. And since then, I had the privilege of preaching the gospel in more than 50 different nations, just telling them of the man from Galilee. Now, if you're here tonight, you don't have an excuse. I don't know what is your excuse, but when I read in the Bible, there's a lot of people that had a lot of excuses. Moses couldn't speak. David messed up a little bit, and not hugely. There were a lot of people doing a lot of wrong stuff. But once you meet that man from Galilee, you'll never be the same. There's no age, there's no color, there's no race, everything is about him. Because in heaven, we're going to just look at him. We're gonna worship him. I want to tell you a story of a lady I met in the Middle East. She was a preacher for another religion. And she used to tell people that Jesus isn't alive, he doesn't exist. And one night, she had a dream. She was abused when she was younger. She had a dream of standing in an open field. And this man walked on this field. He had a white robe on. And he came straight to stand in front of her. And the moment when he stood in front of her, there was light. And she could see. she looked, he stared with those eyes into her face. And she was completely naked, but not ashamed. Not like a lustful nakedness. It was just a complete vulnerability. And she dreamt it twice, every time he could stand. And then the second time, she dreamt that she told him, I'm thirsty. And he gave her a cup of water. She started to drink this cup of water. And at the bottom of this cup was a golden cross, not engraved, a thick golden cross lying on the bottom of this cup. And she always referred to him. She said, the man with the white robe that has fire in his eyes. She said, that man appeared to me in a dream. And the third night, she was in her room and she woke up in the middle of the night with a bit of a fright because there was somebody standing in her room. And she felt the arm going underneath her pillow and she thought like, whoa, crazy. And she jumped up, switched on the light, and there was nobody in the room. And then she thought like, whoa, somebody was like, you know, tugging a pillow. She pulled it over and there was a golden cross. Now the door was locked. So nobody could come in. There was this golden cross. And she fell on her face and she realized, because the next moment the man was standing in the room. His name was Jesus from Galilee, and that's what he said. She committed her life to Christ, and since then she's preaching in the Middle East, telling everybody about the man with the white robe that has fire in his eyes. That's my desire and my prayer, is that we will all see him for who he is tonight. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different church experiences. But until you've stood right there in front of him and you've realized that you've got a thirst and you cry out to him, then you can talk a lot about religion and all of that stuff. But until you've seen the fire in his eyes that he has for you and that he has for me, your life will never be the same. Well, otherwise it will just be the same. There's no change. Because jumping up and down, singing nice songs, that doesn't change us. It's when He grabs hold of your heart and He comes into your heart. He comes into my life and He says, I'm making all things new. Isn't that amazing? God isn't into panel beating. Amen. God isn't up to fixing you so that you can at least be a disabled Christian. God says, I make all things new. So Lord Jesus, we pray tonight that You come and stand in front of each one of us and You burn Your eyes through us and You will again invite us to this place where all our thirst will be quenched in You. Lord, we say that we're thirsting for righteousness. We are hungry for You alone. Thank You that tonight You have a divine appointment with each one of us in this room, and we thank You that all the distractions, all the lies, all the rejection, all the fear of failure is removed tonight when we stand in front of You. Thank You that tonight some people are going to encounter You. They've already started. Thank You that we don't need to be afraid. But You've called us to a burning bush. You've called us because You want to speak to us. And we bless You for that in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Okay, I must focus. I must get around to the scriptures. Okay. Isn't it amazing if you and I, in this life, if somebody walks up to you and say, one sentence of your life, I wonder what it would be. What would be your desire if somebody says, hey, there's Donovan, a man that loves his wife. Or there's Matthew, somebody that can sing in front of other people. And I want to sing like him. What's your name? Claude. There's Claude. A guy with a nice smile. I mean, okay. But if somebody would walk on the other side of the street and there's a lot of people with them and they have to shout something about your life, what would that be? Oh, there goes a failure. Because some people shout that. Oh, there goes somebody that, no, she's not going to make it. No, there goes that one. You see, there's a lot of labels that people want to put on you and put on me in our lives. There's a lot of like tickets that will either open a door for you, close a door for you. And yet when Jesus came into the earth, there was this experience that He had with John the Baptist, one of the most powerful prophets that lived, the one that sort of transitioned from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And remember in that time, the Word of God was very, very scarce. There wasn't prophets standing up. And so here suddenly out of nowhere, a prophet stands up. John the Baptist, he was very weird. Camel hair and, you know, just ate locusts. Anybody eating locusts regularly? I don't know. I've been to China. There they eat snakes and everything you can think of. You don't ask. You just pray. Say, Lord, sanctify the food, you know. I've eaten some funny stuff. But this weird prophet stood up and masses of people came out to hear the word of God. And so one day they're standing at this river Jordan, which always speaks of the place of promise, going into new seasons, opening up of the Jordan. And here, he sees a man, this man from Galilee coming, and this is what he does. And let's go jump into John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold. Isn't that amazing? Now, I actually have to read the scripture correctly. Behold! Okay, that's because there's an exclamation mark next to it. Okay, so I don't know if you've seen that, but that's how he said it, because you can't read it and say, he stood next to the river and there he said, behold. That's not how the scripture is. Behold! Okay, yeah, we've got it. Okay, now everybody's awake, all the kids. But that's actually what he said, because he shouted out, okay? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sure. That's the one little sentence placed on Jesus, probably the most powerful sentence that mankind will ever hear. Behold. Behold isn't just Luke. Check him out. How's his dress code? Do you like my shoes? My suede shoes. No, you can't see it, but let me just show you. It is so cool. Check his shoes, okay? Somebody gave it to me as a present, but I had to brag with it, okay? The other day, I walked through the dust, and I still don't know how to clean the suede, but in any case, I'm not used to suede shoes. But I think it's cool because it's got blue, almost at feathers. Okay. Laces. Okay, but so, behold, look at his shoes, you know? Or when now everybody on that side is like, what? Check it out. No, you can't have it, sir. I checked the way you came in here that you were looking for my, you can't have it. Okay, but that's just a joke, okay? But you know, when we say behold, it's not just look and look away again. Behold to see. Look very intensely. It's not just on the outside, because if you look at Jesus, if you look at Scripture, Jesus wasn't very attractive. It's always amazing to me that some of the pictures they paint about Jesus is always this white person with a beautiful hair, with the blue eyes. But Jesus wasn't, I don't think he was actually white. I think he was more black. I mean, he was actually more Middle Eastern. So everybody wants to like put Jesus into my box so that he's easy to recognize. But the Bible says he was without comeliness, meaning that he wasn't a good-looking person. If you looked at him, you would probably like look at the other way. So that's why he said, behold, look. But look intently, because as you look at this man, maybe you can miss it. Maybe you're going to look at the outward appearance. And isn't that amazing that when God looks at you and when he looks at me, he also says, behold. God looks completely different at you than what the world looks at you. So even when he walks up to Simon, he says, this is not Simon, this is Peter. He somehow gives him another name. You're not Saul, you're Paul. Isn't that amazing when God looks at you? Some of you, when you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, stop saying those things that other people are saying about you. Start saying what God says about you. Start aligning yourself with what God says and what he says over you. Don't believe the lies, because there's a father of lies and there's a real father in heaven. And you're either going to believe one of the two lies or the truth, what God says. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And then he says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Again, the next day, verse 35, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Sorry, all the children are awake now. But you just have to read Scripture in the right way. Are you with me? Behold, look. What are you looking at? Maybe you're looking at your circumstances today. Maybe you're looking at your past. Maybe you're looking at your fears. Maybe you're looking at your failures. But the Lamb of God. And then he defines that. The Lamb of God, you know what? As a Christian, if you don't make peace with this fact that for the rest of your life, even in heaven itself, we're going to worship him as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. In the middle of God's heart is the place of sacrifice. Is the place of purity. A lamb without spot or wrinkle, Scripture says, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, the one who's come to take your place, who's come to take my place. And in the middle, in the center of our worship, one day for eternity, we'll worship him as the Lamb. We won't worship him as the one on the cross. We're not going to worship him as the person sitting next to the right hand of the Father. We're going to worship him as a Lamb of God. That was slain. The greatest sacrifice. And when we look at the Bible, right through the Bible, the theme of the Bible is about one thing. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's quite gory. It's not like everyone needs to get to that place. Look at the Lamb. Look at the Lamb of God. So when we jump to Isaiah, because Isaiah is probably the first guy who prophesied about this Jesus that would hang on the cross, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 to 7, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah prophesied that one day there will be a restoration. One day there will be somebody that will take the place that will be a perfect sinless sacrifice. That would be wounded when God the Father, that was just and fair and holy, had to judge mankind for our sins. God said, I'm going to judge Jesus. I'm going to judge this other sacrifice in your place. So, the good news, but also the bad news, is simply today, whatever you put on the table is not a good enough sacrifice for God. All your dancing, all your singing, all your scripture reading, all your trying, all your coming to church, it is not good enough for God, because the sacrifice that you and I bring is not blameless. It's not sinless. It's not spotless. It's not pure. It's all got its flaws, and that's why it says, hey, each one of us, we've gone our own way. Maybe you're trying to save yourself by, hey, I'm good enough. I'm a good Christian. I've at least not killed somebody. I'm a good enough this, or I'm a good enough that. But the bad news is, sorry, sir, no one, Jesus said, no one is good. I don't know about you, but I like to say, hey, that guy was a good guy, because he gave me something. Yeah. Well, that guy did amazing stuff. He gave away $1 billion. Wow, what a good guy. In God's terms, there's no one good. Sorry, Nelson Mandela. Sorry. Because goodness is not defined by man. Goodness is defined by God. And Jesus said, there's no one good. Turn to your neighbor and say, sorry, you're not good enough. Some of you enjoyed that too much now, eh? I don't know. I won't look that way. I'll look this way, as I said. But there was a lady sitting on that side saying, you are not good enough. I told you so, you know? You're better. You know? I'll just look this way. And then when I say this, I'll look. And there was a guy sitting on this side that was like, did you hear the preacher? Preach it, you know? And it's amazing when we talk about these things, we always think about the guy who is not here tonight. Oh, yeah, I know that guy is a sinner. You know, sure, he should have been here. I know this message is really applicable to that friend of mine, you know. But isn't it amazing? In all of us, we're trying to be good. We're trying to, when we even come to God, we try to define ourselves, at least I'm not doing that, or at least I am not like her. You know. She sinner, you know. But we all fall short of God's glory. That's why when you come to God, you don't look at yourself. You behold, look, the Lamb of God. He was bruised for you. I'm going to read it again. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions, you know, the Bible talks about sin, transgressions, and iniquities. Not just your sins, but those stuff, those cycles that have come through your family lines, that rejection, that fear of failure, that stuff that haunts you. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we're not trying to be healed, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone. We've done our own thing. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. There's some of us in this room that are struggling with heaviness and anxiety and sleeplessness. And the Lord is going to heal you tonight when you realize that there's a lamb. There's a provision that he's made. But you have to put it on him. You have to let go. There's some of you that are so anxious for what lies ahead in this year. You think like, what is the chances I'm going to make it? Behold, look away from yourself, because you can't do it. But he can do it. He wants to. and he opened not his mouth. I'm going to jump one or two scriptures because we need to go right to the end in Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to just read it quickly because this is the end story of this lamb that was slain. Verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, there that same word again. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, with all or the seven, even the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands and thousands of thousands and thousands, with saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be him to sit on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. You can read the same in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 to 5. The Lamb of God. And unless you and I come to that place of true repentance where we realize I cannot do it in myself, if there's anything inside of you still saying, hey, no, 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 maybe I'm going to try another way to God, maybe I'm going to try another religion. Do you know every other religion is based on fear? Every other religion is based on your sacrifice. And if your sacrifice is good enough, then maybe the God in heaven that is worshipped through that religion will receive you. True Christianity is the only one based on one sacrifice, what Christ has done. And that is what validates you. That's what takes away the fear of rejection. That's what takes away the fear of failure. That's what takes away all the stuff that people have been saying about you. And the blood of Christ washes you clean. It redeems your life from destruction. Can I get an amen? Every other religion is about works and your sacrifice. When you come to true Christianity, once you've seen the Lamb of God, then you have got no other thing but just to, you want to respond in worship. You want to please him. And then your works only flows out of the fact that you've seen him, that he's washed you clean. So maybe you're all here tonight and you feel like, well, I'm a sinner. Maybe you're all here tonight and you say, look here, I want to fix my own things. I'm entitled to this. I want to do it my way. Have a lot of fun when I'm young and then late in my life. Because you know, Christianity is just for older Christians. People that can't find a good enough girl or boyfriend, yeah? And then we run around. Emptiness upon emptiness. Because there's one thing that you cannot do is you will find nowhere the place of true forgiveness. The place of true freedom which Christ bought for you. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. You're included. I'm included. He's taken away my sin. And what I need to do is I need to align myself. I need to position myself. I need to bring in my life so that it aligns with what he says about me and it aligns with what he spoke over me. You see, if you have a motor car, sometimes the wheels almost drive like this, you know, and like this at the back and like this in the front. And then they say to you, you must take in the car and you must fix its wheel alignment so that all four wheels go in the same direction. Otherwise, you are going to buy tires every 2 months. And then you pay a lot of money to get these wheels aligned. The same picture, God wants to align your life with his will. He doesn't want you to drive like this, have no brakes. We had a car. We grew up very poor, and we had to throw in petrol sometimes and oil every 10 kilometers at a stage. So then the whole family stopped. Now, when you're that age, you feel a bit ashamed, you know, because you're like, and then we always have this thing like run, be a distraction, half of the family while the other half of the family throws in the oil, you know. But we had like these big cans of oil, you know, that we had to throw in all the time. Do you know how many Christians is like that? They need to align or they need to throw in oil all the time because they haven't found what the blood of Christ does. You're not washed with the blood. So tonight it's a very simple message, but the message is about you standing before that God, before that Lamb and say, behold, I've seen. Behold, I'm going to worship. Behold, he's forgiven my sins. Behold, I'm free. Behold, I've got a purpose that is much more than just getting a degree. It's life itself. And that's why Jesus could say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Will you stand with me tonight as we're going to continue worshiping? We're going to give an opportunity for people to respond to the one who saves our souls. Because maybe somebody brought you here tonight and you think like, yeah, that's good, but you don't know. You don't know where I come from. I'm sorry, I don't know. But all I can tell you that I struggled a lot. I couldn't walk up to people and face them and look them in the eyes and just talk and have a normal conversation with them. But today I can. What's your name?
Money.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Titi.
Ooh, sure. Beautiful names. But you know how much God loves you? Because I saw that Jesus looking into my eyes. Sure, you're very prophetic, eh? God has got a prophetic call on your life. Sure. Many people are going to be set free because of what God has done in your life. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. You talk a lot. Does she? Yes, amen. Okay. Always ask the friends, just sometimes, okay? Because as I was standing here, I saw the Lord showing me a picture of how you stand on the mountain. And you speak. And as you just speak, as you look to him, not to the people. Sometimes you've been looking too much at the people. You've been thinking too much, what do they think about you? But the Lord showed me a picture of how you stand on the mountain. And as you speak, look up to him. There's like a ripple effect of your voice going down into the valleys, setting people free, breaking yokes of slavery, and people just coming out of the valleys because of Jesus in your life. Don't be silent, lady. Don't be silent. He's got a call on your life. Don't hold back. That's what Jesus says. Forget about what the other people, many of your words feel like people haven't listened to you for a long time. But from tonight on, they're going to start listening to you because of God's word in your life. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Oh, it's like to cry. Once we see him, I cry a lot. So, sneezy, they call me sneezy sometimes, amen. And he's going to call on your life. Don't be silent. There's some of you, sir, don't let your circumstance define who you are. Come on, guys, look me in the eye. Come, I want to look you in the eye. Don't ever let your circumstance tell you who you are. Let Jesus define you. Because he loves you. He loves you. Where did you get these muscles? Huh? Did you buy them with a t-shirt? I want to go to that place. Sure, it's cool. But Lord God, you're like a gentleman, and God has given you such wisdom. Don't ever be afraid. What's your name?
Ah, cool name.
Yeah. But you know, God has got a massive call on your life to be a leader, to have wisdom, to lead others where they don't want to go. And the Lord says tonight, in front of all of these people, don't be afraid. You're going to follow Him. Okay? He's got a great call on your life. Don't look back. Hey, He loves you. Do you know that? He loves you. He loves you. Hey. Don't ever think that you're secondhand. Don't ever think that you need to hide behind other people. Listen to what Jesus talks and says about you. Hey? Listen to what He tells you. His word is eternal. His word is eternal, lady. The Lord says to you, don't be afraid. Never. Don't be afraid. He's your protector and He's your provider. He's going to go before you. Father, we thank You tonight for people in this place whose hearts are turning to You. Behold, whose eyes, Lord, are looking away from what we see around us, and we're looking to You. I thank You, Lord, for tonight that You are beginning to speak to us, Lord, about what You say and what Your purposes and Your plans are. I thank You for the beautiful people that You have raised in this place. Thank You that You break the yokes of slavery. And tonight, Father, we thank You for a moment that we can respond. So I'm going to ask you to be very bold. If you have not had that experience with Christ, if He's not the Lord of your life, you've never looked at Him where your sins are forgiven, but tonight you want that, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are. Or maybe you've never done it publicly. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are. Maybe there's slavery over your life and you need to be set free tonight. You need deliverance. You're that person that cannot sleep properly at night. There's anxious. You've got anxiety attacks. You've got fear stuff over you. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you to step out with all the small group leaders as we're going to just pray for you. We're going to minister God's grace to you, and we're going to just say, God, we break every yoke of slavery tonight. Behold the Lamb who heals, who touches, who delivers, who sets us free. So if God is speaking to you tonight, lady, I want you to come out. Just come and stand right here in front. I'm always the first one to respond. Jesus, that's me. Save me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, come and deliver me. I want you to come. If God is speaking to you, don't be shy. It's not something that you do at home. Something you do tonight because of His invitation. Where you say, God, I've never seen You. I don't know what it means that I'm completely forgiven. I don't know, Lord, that You've taken away. But Lord, I pray tonight that You'll take away all my sins. Wash me clean. Wash me clean, Jesus. Because He can do that for you, sir. He can do that and honor you and put you in a place where you feel worthy. Because that's what He does, lady. That's what He does. That's what He does. He places value on our lives. He redeems us. He takes us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the most amazing thing. He doesn't discriminate. He's Lord. He's the Lamb. And once we worship Him, once we give our lives to Him, once we repent, what begins to happen is He says, I'm going to show you who you really are. I'm going to show you. I'm going to release my word over your life. And then I'm going to use you. That's why I'm standing here tonight, because I was nobody. I couldn't speak. I ran away when people came. And I'm nothing without Him. Nothing. You cannot give to me. If you give me $1 million tonight for exchange for forgiveness of sins, it cannot buy the forgiveness of sins. Even if you give me $1 million and say, well, reject Jesus, I will not do it with $1 billion. Because money cannot buy what Christ has given us. I want us all, as we just close our eyes, I want us to pray a prayer of surrender. If you're sick in your body, we're going to pray for you. I want you to come out to this side, because we're going to pray for healing, because Jesus still heals. He still heals. I was at a stage paralyzed in one half of my, on the one side, and Jesus healed me. I've seen Jesus raise the dead twice. He's still the same. So maybe you have like something small in your life, but hey, He heals that. Even if it's just migraines, even if it's just headaches, even if it's sleeplessness. Behold, the Lamb of God. So we're going to pray first a prayer just of surrender, where we just repent And then we're gonna pray for the sick. We're gonna pray that God will set you free. He'll give you peace. God will release and His kingdom will come in your life and then He'll start to use you. Will you pray with me, all of us in this room? Lord Jesus, tonight I surrender to You. My whole life, my whole being, everything inside of me. Take control and use me, Lord. I repent because I am a sinner that has tried to save myself. But here I am. Take my life, take my heart, take my future, take my past, take everything, Lord. Tonight, I behold the Lamb that was slain to forgive all my sins. Please forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean by Your blood. Give me a new life. Here I am, Lord. Take everything and use me for Your glory. In Jesus' name.